We're certainly glad you're here, and Almighty God loves you. What a great start to the day to be told that Almighty Sovereign God, who desires to work in and through you, cares for you, He loves you, and as you draw close to Him, trust me, He'll draw close to you. He delights in you, He created you, He fashioned you. From all eternity, He knew what you would be like. He gave you gifts and abilities, and hopefully as you lean on Him, as you draw close to Him, you're going to find yourself operating in the Spirit, or walking in cadence with His leading, and seeing supernatural things take place. And maybe it's just an encouraging word that can direct a child towards a career or future in serving in kingdom work. It might just be the resources that you use to further kingdom work through missions or some activity or some encounter as you ask God to allow it to be a divine appointment. Just watch what happens today. He'll work in and through you. Well, he's been working in and through Jason and I, and I've derailed Jason about 15 times already this morning because I said, gosh, I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this. What about this? Hey, your sermon on Sunday included this. And he said, hold off one moment, Mark. My wife, Tasha, has said so many times, you'll announce things that you're going to talk about and say and share, and then you never get to it. So I said,
can
Jason,
anybody say Ephesians?
Yeah. Or those five or four Hebrew words I was going to have you highlight. So I'm going to start qualifying on the onset to say, we may address some of these things today, but you just never know. And in fact, we've had revival going on in the studio for about the last 30 or 40 minutes, and I try to be sensitive to Jason's time. I mean, as most of you know, pastors, their schedules are so filled with reading, with hospital visits, with preparation, with church maintenance, with all the different duties they have to do, attending to their family, their church family, the visionary. They have to work all the electronics and all the different things they have to do on Sunday and throughout the week. And so it's so great. I'm very fortunate that Jason has prioritized his time so they could be here in the home studio and been faithful coming each and every week to divide God's word and to assist me. So thank you, Jason. But yeah, I do want to point out a couple things that we might get to address today.
Sure.
I was intrigued by some of the illustrations you gave on Sunday about Moses. So maybe there'll be some time to talk about Moses and what it means that he was a humble man and that he saw the backside of God, that he wanted to see God's glory. So those are some things to be thinking about. I'd like you to talk a little about Lego ministry. I was intrigued by that whole thing that's on the internet where they've taken all these Lego sets and kind of depicted biblical accounts through the Bible.
Did you go to the website?
No, I just
okay,
thought.
Okay, yeah, if you go on the internet, it's called thebrickbible.com. And now they've actually, I saw it last night at Barnes & Noble, they have a bound book. And what it is somebody took the Old Testament, they built each scene, you know, key scenes from the Old Testament out of Legos, and then took pictures and then added sound balloons. So it's an entire Old Testament done in Legos. And so, like my son, who's a Lego maniac, that speaks to his heart.
Yes. So unique ways to evangelize your children through the Lego ministry.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I have some other things I want to talk about, but I want to be sensitive because we might not get there. I'll just maybe point to you and say, hey, talk a little more about God's glory and what he reveals and what is a miracle. And when God talked to Moses and talked about the staff, how can we relate to the staffs in our lives? But before we kind of get into some of our discussion and highlight some of the things that are on your heart, I want to point out some of the responses we've already gotten because of our streaming audio. And thank you, God, that Phil Shepherd with the Moody Broadcasting Network was down and worked many, many hours. We had to do a lot of problem solving to get it all engineered and set up. And Edmund, who works on our website, you know, to provide the buttons and the stream links and all that, took a lot of effort and energy, and we've been planning this for many months. Well, now we're starting to get feedback from people locally and also from a dear listener in Florida. So it's kind of neat to hear from Elizabeth Jane, but this is a quick email from Lynn, and she says, dear folks at Great News Radio, thanks for your note. I sent out a reminder to people. Here's how you can log on to the website and gave them the correct way of doing it. It was a great help, as she's replying to my email. My husband put you on our favorites, and I can now listen to you any time I am able. Perhaps I can persuade him to let me send in an offering also. God bless Lynn. Mm. Well, then I got an email like that night, and I saw a PayPal donation into the ministry that she must have convinced him, or he said, yes, let's support the radio ministry. So we got a PayPal donation. So that was kind of neat. Thanks, Lynn and your hubby. And then this came from a dear friend from Florida, and I forwarded this on to you because you have that young man's voice. Now, didn't you just turn 40?
I did just turn 40.
Yeah, so happy belated birthday.
Thank you, thank you.
But she says, hi, Mark, I know you will probably receive a ton of emails in regard to the email below. And this was the email I sent out to some of the people that had gone to Israel with me. Hey, you can now hear us streaming audio at greatnewsradio.org and give us a try. And so she did. But perhaps getting ours from way down in Florida will be a wee bit special. Smiley face. Thanks for sending these links. It's great to know that we can now listen to the programs from your station. Actually, I've listened to several programs as of late, as Nancy has encouraged me to do so. She's speaking to Nancy Miller. Nancy Miller's been in the studio. Nancy Miller's a new voice that's been added to our on-air. And so you'll hear Nancy Miller reading some scripture and announcing some radio programs and such. But Nancy and her are best of friends. But she recounts how Nancy encouraged her to log on. I love hearing their testimonies, and it's been fun to be able to visualize just where you were in your studio downstairs in your house, because they've been over here. I've so affirmed what I've heard the Holy Spirit saying through you and through your guests, especially the young man, Jason, who is helping you. In listening to one of your Christmas programs, Jason shared about the lineage of Christ as found in Matthew and how the generations that there are divided into 14 generations. He explained the Hebrew numbering system using letters and how the 14 represents the letters DVD. And she goes on and on to say a number of nice things and then a whole another couple paragraphs of information. But thank you, God, that our streaming audio can reach people not only in East Central Illinois, West Central Indiana, but throughout parts of the country and the world. And so thanks for writing us, and thanks, listeners, for stopping by greatnewsradio.org and listening to us via streaming audio in case you're at work and you can't get one of our four frequencies in, or you're traveling out of the area. Stop by greatnewsradio.org and have a listen. So what does it feel like to be like a local pastor and then having somebody in Florida saying, hey, great job, you're ministering to me?
Yeah, I love that she says that young man, and then I'm 40. So obviously my voice is aging gracefully, but my hair is turning gray, and so I thought it was funny. Because I think I even sent you a message right away, and I go, that young man, because it made me laugh.
So what's Tasha think about you being referred to as a young man and this gifted teacher that's being heard around the country?
Oh, Tasha, yeah. She just kind of looks and... You know, I'm still the guy who forgets to take the garbage out. So.
Hey, I want to point out, and I don't know if this would be appropriate, but you showed me a little while ago a picture of Tasha and your daughter, and it's just, it's beautiful. Might I have permission to post it on our website?
Sure.
Okay, so if you stop by greatnewsradio.org, you're going to want to stop by greatnewsradio.org because this photograph of a mother holding her lovely daughter is just so beautiful, and it'll give you a little insight into God's goodness, because God brought Tasha into Jason's life some years ago as a result of that wonderful marriage. They have three children, and you will be blessed by this picture. You will just say, you will like it. All right, so I don't mean to embarrass you too much today, Jason, just a little bit, but it'll keep
they
you on the
edge.
They can't
see red on the radio, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We're okay.
So God's been working in and through you. He's been giving you some scriptures that you've clung to, that you've loved to divide, that you enjoy sharing. And I know you could say a lot about Moses. Portions of Exodus have been meaningful to you, but what's going on in your life lately?
Well, you know, I really feel like, and not even any way that I did it well. I would preface this by saying, this is not anything that I planned or did well. But as I look at the messages that God was speaking to me leading up into December, and our church has been going through Philippians, and we stopped at Philippians chapter 1 at the very end, and then we said, well, we're going to pick up Philippians 2 next year. I really felt God saying, hey, there's something I want you to speak about change in December. And leading out of that, God was just speaking to me and saying, look, I want to prepare the hearts of not only you, but your congregation to be able to do the things that I'm calling you to do in 2012. So interesting, I set aside January as a time of just fasting and prayer and just really jumping into God's word and what God, what are you saying not only for me but for this church? So the other day I was sitting down and I was thinking about the vision for the church. We're having a vision service on the 29th of January and we're having a business meeting. It's kind of the beginning of the fiscal year and everything for the church. And after that, we're going to start Philippians again. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, okay, God, this is what you want us to do. This is how you want us to prepare our hearts. And then I go and I open up Philippians chapter 2, and Philippians chapter 2 is all about, it begins about being of one heart, one mind, united in the Spirit, being like Christ, without grumbling, without, you know, all these things. And I go, God, you have orchestrated this out of Philippians into this period of you speaking, I'm going to change some things here because I'm leading you into a new place. And then God speaking about how to prepare our hearts, and then out of our hearts, how we'll be united in one Spirit, one purpose, being, you know, in that nature of Christ. So I'm incredibly excited. And then to go into the Exodus, have God just really speak to me. I mean, this message that I wrote for Sunday was probably one of the quickest messages I've ever written. I mean, it was just in my head, in my heart. God spoke to it. I got sat down within an hour. The bones of it were on the computer. And, you know, then I just did the study required of that. But, I mean, it really came fast and furious because God was speaking it. And interestingly, after the service, I have a number of people who come up and they go, I just really felt the Holy Spirit today. I really felt like those words were not your words. They were something else. So I think that God is really doing a work, not only in me, but in the church. So for me, it's really an exciting time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that as I sat there listening, and I kind of have a double dose on Sunday. I start out at the early service at the First Baptist Church of Champaign and Savoy, and on Monday's program, I gave a little snapshot or overview of what Pastor Randy preached on. Then I go to Sunday school class, and then I zip over and just make it in time to hear you preach and participate in your service. And you were sharing some concepts that I'd never heard before about the humility that Moses shared. Moses, we know, is a humble man, but many times when we think of humble, we just think of, well, we think of the word humble, that he just was, oh, what do you say he was humble? How do you describe it? That it was kind of not so much meek, but he just was a very, like when you think of a humble man, just somebody that's very quiet, reserved, faithful, solid, not meek in a sissy sense, but just very mild-mannered and just giving all the glory to God, just kind of getting out of the way, not taking the credit, not needing to be in the spotlight, just somebody that's kind of behind the scenes, that's wonderful, that's caring. But you kind of shared another aspect of the humility that maybe the scriptures were trying to point out about Moses.
I would define humble as a quiet strength and a strength that comes from God, that when somebody is humble, they appear very Christ-like, they appear very weak, but in essence, they are very strong. A humble person is very hard to waver. You know, they don't move much, and they're like a rock. I mean, most humble people I know, I would say they're the rocks in my life, but they're the rocks because they don't allow the waves to move them. So I think that that's powerful. But it's in Numbers 12:3, and it's one of those scriptures that you read in reference to Moses, and it kind of elevates Moses a little bit. And I've heard a lot of people use it in terms of Moses, elevating him. But Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3 says, "Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth." The NIV, the 1984 translation, uses the word humble. The ESV uses the word meek. I believe the King James uses the word meek. But it's always either humble or meek. I went back to the JPS commentary on this, the Jewish commentary on this, the Tanakh, and the word humble is a mistranslation of sorts. It's a misunderstanding is what it is. The Hebrew word that's in there doesn't find its root in the word of humility or the word of kind of a humble submission, but instead that finds its roots in the word to have a great weight upon you, to be depressed by that weight, not depressed by emotionally, but depressed physically, because there's a physicality to this word, or to be afflicted. So what this is saying, now Moses was a man who had a great weight on him, more weight than anyone else in the face of the earth. And for some of us, we would go, well, you know, Moses is a humble man because that must be the right translation, because he submitted to what God wanted him to do. He did what God wanted him to do, even though at times he didn't do exactly what God wanted him to do. He still was trying his best to follow God's plan and purpose and God's call. But I think contextually it makes more sense that Moses was a man who had a great weight upon him, Because just imagine, I mean, this is not just you've been called by Almighty God to do something, but now you have the whole of God's elect people on your shoulders. You're trying to lead them and guide them. How many times does it say in the Exodus the people were grumbling at Moses? The people were mad at Moses. Moses goes up on the mountain to hear from God to get a greater sense of the calling for the people of Israel. And he comes back down and they got a golden calf and they're worshiping and he's got to correct. I mean, Moses was under a ton of stress. And if we even read in Exodus chapter 33 in verse 12, Moses is commanded to go get some water. He strikes the rock with his staff, and the rock produces water. Well, then there's another occurrence later on in Numbers where Moses is called to speak to the rock. And he goes and he strikes the rock again. But right before he does that, he comes up to the people, and you can just, when you read that piece of text, you can feel Moses' agitation when he goes, "You rebels, you think that you need water? Well, I'm going to give you water," you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And he strikes the rock, you know, without even thinking. He defaults to his humanity. He strikes the rock instead of what God's called him to do, which is to speak to the rock. So when you read contextually all these moments between Moses and the people of Israel, he had this great weight upon him. And I think about some of the people I know, some who lead smaller churches, some who lead incredibly large churches, though. And every time I've sat down with them, they've said to me, "This is sometimes incredibly hard because I feel like I have not just the weight of God's calling on me, but I have the weight of all these people because they default to me." I mean, you know, you go to a bigger church, and if he's available, that pastor will be done speaking, and you'll just see people flock down to talk to him. Not only has he just delivered and divided God's word for this church, not only does he have the weight of what it means to do the church, but now he has all these people who are flocking to him who now have individual needs. And so it's very much like Moses as the shepherd. The shepherd of a large church, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and when you talk about the weightiness on his shoulders, I always think of the weight that was on Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, that olive press, that weight, the burden that was so great that he literally sweat blood. And I almost wonder if there's some parallels between the weightiness that Moses felt trying to lead God's people and just the weightiness of the moment that Jesus recognizing all the sin of the world. I mean, there's a different, obviously, it's a way different comparison, but the weightiness that Jesus felt, so much so that he sweat blood, and that weightiness that when you're in ministry, when you're serving God for kingdom purposes, there's always that tension of that weight, that burden, that, like, "Lord, I'm being crushed under this. I need your help. I need your assistance. I need your strength." And Moses, you know, for the most part, though he had some anger issues and some things, he knew where to turn to, and he turned to God. And he even went so far to say, "God, I want to see your glory."
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, we have to look and say the Lord's Prayer where he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in that passage right there, it means that, look, God's not going to deliver you from underneath your circumstances. It's not like, hey, you pray a prayer and God suddenly delivers you from all your problems. But what that means, that daily bread means, is that God will meet you in that place of affliction or that place where you're struggling, and God will give you what you need in that day. He'll give you that daily bread, that manna. And these connections that are in the New Testament are all allusions to things that are happening in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, you know, there are some friends who I have are dispensationalists, and they say, you know, well, there's the New Testament and everything else that came before it is kind of just before it. And I go, no, wait a second. This is all one book about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. From the first tentative steps in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 and 3 all the way through to the end, this book is all about the coming of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ will do. And Jesus Christ says, "I will meet you at your place of affliction, of your place of your greatest pressures, and I will be there with you. I'll give you that daily bread." So I think that Moses is that great early picture of it. Also, I love, and this is something that God spoke to my heart. I did the service on Sunday morning, and then Sunday evening, I was teaching the kids in Awana. I do the council time for the truth and training kids in there. And so we had a conversation about Moses. And God really spoke to my heart that if we look throughout the Bible, all the people that God pretty much calls are shepherds. Early on, he calls Abraham, and Abraham would have been this nomadic kind of wandering shepherd person. Abraham's children. We have Moses here. Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. So we have these shepherds. And why? Well, we don't really have time to go into all of it. But this is what God really spoke to my heart as I spoke to these Awana kids. That Moses was a shepherd. And first he was a shepherd of sheep. And then if we look, He marries. He has a family. I mean, he's shepherding his father Jethro's flock. So he's shepherding a family. Then he's called by God to shepherd the people of Israel. And as we see, as that moves, the number gets bigger. So not only is he shepherding the people of Israel, but then a greater number of people. And then ultimately, Moses is called to shepherd God's first written words in his penning of the first five books of the Bible.
You know, I'm just thinking that's such an interesting, you're pointing out such an interesting phenomenon. We generally think of shepherding like animals or shepherding a flock or people. Shepherding God's word.
Right.
I mean, that could be something that the Lord's wanting to speak truth to us, to our listeners, that he wants to shepherd our words, the things that we say to others or the ways we honor or divide God's word around other people.
And that's really what God spoke to my heart. I mean, I made these connections. Look at Moses, a shepherd of sheep. He shepherded a family. He shepherded a group of people from Israel, called out the elect people of God. That number grew. He shepherded a larger number of people. He shepherded God's word. I mean, God said, look, now I want you to tend to my word. And then I said, and these kids are all like 9, 8, 10. And I go, how many of you have shared Jesus with somebody? And the hands went up. And some kids, unlike adults that I have sat with, some kids had names. They go, you know, my mom and dad, my brother Will, my friend at school. And I go, do you know what you are? You're a shepherd.
Hmm.
You are shepherding God's word. And then I left it at the end of the council time, and I really felt, you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit, I can just feel the back of the hairs on my neck stand up. And I said, who will you shepherd this week?
Hmm.
And then I said, I want to hear about it next week. And you can see when little kids' antennas go up.
Hmm.
And their antennas were up.
Hmm.
Because they were making this connection to this person who's called by God, and today, where they've been called. In the scriptures, it says that Moses is standing on holy ground. And you know what? By the fact that Jesus rests in your heart, Ephesians 3:14 says that you, where you are standing right now, where you're sitting, where you're driving in your car, what you're doing right now as you listen to this radio program, it's holy ground.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been called on that holy ground to shepherd God's word, his plan, and his purpose in your life.
Amen. And I won't restate the obvious, but God, obviously, I know, is speaking to you today to shepherd his word with others. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.